This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. The U.S. economy doesn't look too shabby right now. The job numbers are through the roof. The stock market is hitting record highs. Just ask President Trump.
We have a growth rate, a GDP, which has been much higher than, as you know, anybody anticipated, except maybe us. But it's going to go up. It's going to go higher, too. We're doing a job.
Despite this, the gap between the rich and the poor keeps getting wider. One-fifth of Oakland residents live below the poverty line. Still, blaming an entire economic system like capitalism can feel vague and ineffective. But there's one place in Oakland where people are encouraged to imagine an alternative post-capitalist reality. KALW's Holly J. McDeed takes us there.
Pretend capitalism is over. We don't know how or why or what comes next. But it's no longer late stage. It's terminal. That's the future the Museum of Capitalism wants you to imagine, like science fiction. So pretend you're in the future at a history museum where we remember what it was like under capitalism, or is like. Anyway, the museum in Oakland's Jack London Square is a collection of curated artifacts, or conceptual art pieces. Timothy Firstnow is cranking away at a minimum wage machine.
When you crank the handle, here, I'll give it a crank. It actually spits out pennies at the rate of minimum wage.
In Oakland, that's $12.86 per hour.
So if I were to crank this handle for an hour, I would get $12.86.
Wow. Firstnow is one of the museum's curators. Andrea Steves is the other. Together, they create and curate art under the name Fictalis.
The Museum of Capitalism is a museum that looks back on capitalism and remembers capitalism as a historical phenomenon.
This pop-up museum is located in a giant warehouse overlooking the Oakland waterfront. People outside are kayaking and sipping gourmet coffee while the train whistles by. The exhibits in this museum reflect some of the basic tenets of capitalism, like trading labor for wages and allowing the free market to determine the value of goods and services. The museum also highlights some practices that Karl Marx didn't see coming, like trading internal organs for cash. That brings us to the next display, glass kidneys on a pedestal.
I think it's a sort of visual representation of a larger phenomenon of the way that the body can be bought and sold. And I think the presentation...
Firstnow grimaces in horror, like he's scared the way he's speaking is too laissez-faire and he needs to self-regulate. Steves glances at him. I should mention they're not just artistic partners. They're also married.
Don't answer things if you don't feel like you have a good answer for it. I mean, right?
In competitive markets, marriage can lead to higher median family incomes. United by capital and history, these bonds can also produce interactions strangers like myself don't always understand. This artistic duo is both delightful and awkward.
I thought it sounded okay. When you emailed, he hates radio.
Oh,
every time we've had a radio interview, he gets really angry about it.
I promise I will not be angry.
He sent me an all caps email that said never again. So
the fortunate among us don't have to give up a kidney to survive late stage capitalism. I'm a journalist, paid to ask strangers questions. In return, the people I interview get publicity. But there's something about our interaction, or transaction, that feels strange. Like Fictalis is all too aware of their supply and my demands.
So this is a piece by Jennifer Dalton that's called Reckoning. And visitors to the gallery are invited to fill out these forms that correspond with either a sort of gesture of surplus or debt.
Cool. Well, how does this fit in with the theme of capitalism?
I don't want to answer that. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't know.
Firstnow is determined not to sell me any commodity of value.
I can try and answer a non-answer.
Do a non-answer.
Yeah. They don't necessarily say something specific about capitalism.
That's when I finally get it. The artwork isn't telling people how to feel. This is not an anti-capitalist museum. No explicit agenda, no proposed solutions. Just a starting point for visitors to reflect.
So I think it's difficult to find distance from something like capitalism when you feel like you're in it. You know, there's a sort of joke about the fish in the water, and the one fish says, "How's the water?" And the other fish says, "What water?" Right?
Even Firstnow is still figuring out how he feels about capitalism from inside the fishbowl.
This is maybe a good place where a one-word answer would be good, but I have to think hard about what the one word would be.
Long pauses like Firstnow's here aren't so good for radio, but it is kind of the point of the museum, to pause and reflect.
Maybe I feel conflicted about capitalism. I feel curious about it. I feel in awe of it sometimes. I feel terrified other times.
He says, as a way of producing and distributing resources, capitalism is just one economic solution.
It's a solution that doesn't work for everyone and doesn't work with everything, and it doesn't seem like it's possible for it to work forever.
The thing is, as artists and curators, Fictilis is actually pretty good at accumulating capital. They got a big grant to launch this museum and partnered with the Jack London Improvement District to find a space here by the waterfront and train station.
That's kind of made a lot of people scratch their heads, like, you're an economic development, sort of business improvement entity. Why are you hosting a museum of capitalism?
Savlon Hauser is the executive director of the Jack London Improvement District.
We just love seeing vacant spaces activated and bringing new people to the district who wouldn't ordinarily visit.
The Museum of Capitalism occupies a warehouse that was renovated to house an upscale food hall. But the forces of the market intervened and the plan collapsed during the 2008 global economic crisis. Until recently, it sat empty. There's lots of empty space in Jack London Square.
We want to reflect the community's needs, but also find a home for uses that are homeless, like this museum.
Homeless, that's a funny word to use in Oakland in 2017. There's a homeless encampment just a few blocks away. Hauser says neighbors here are keenly aware of this.
And we're all feeling a little under-resourced and powerless to do any major change.
Yeah. The story of the Jack London District is economics 101. Several decades ago, developers swooped into this former industrial neighborhood to turn it into a tourist destination. But they overestimated the demand, and many of the warehouses are still empty. In a capitalist economic system, people buy and rent property with capital. Also under capitalism, not everyone has enough.
The fact that this museum deals with the content of capitalism is fascinating for us as a changing neighborhood, but also a really relevant conversation to make active in Oakland right now. So we're not afraid of the challenging content.
Back inside, Steve's and Firstnow take me to a display of clay heads dangling above a bed of dirt and plants.
I just watered it this morning. It's perking up. I know.
It's like, it looks so sad.
It takes a while to. But that one's flowering. This is an amazing moment.
It is amazing moment.
The dangling clay heads represent Thomas Midgley Jr., a chemical engineer who developed a new formula for gasoline. His inventions made internal combustion engines work better by adding lead, which poisons the air and our bodies. This weekend, visitors are invited to return the favor by smashing Midgley's head in.
And when smashed, the head containers will disperse seeds that can help remediate the climate change that Midgley's inventions and many other people's have created.
Soon after the clay heads are smashed, the Museum of Capitalism will shut its doors. But outside, amid the fancy restaurants, yacht clubs, a bowling alley, just down the block from the homeless encampments and extreme poverty, it's a capitalist theme park. Does that mean it's time for the revolution to begin? Nah, it's less dramatic. Coffee roasters are moving into the warehouse space that once held art. Worry not. Extreme wealth, profit motives, competition, and desperation will remain on display in every city in America long after the Museum of Capitalism is gone. But you may have to squint. Fish don't notice the water when they're swimming in it. In Oakland, I'm Holly J. McDeed for Cross Currents.